When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
Oh my gosh, isn't the year just as bad or worse? Hello everybody, my name is Cody Johnson. Welcome to the Worst Year Ever podcast.
Well done.
I am Robert Evans, and you're right, Cody. 2021 came out swinging. Like, you gotta give it to 2021. No ramp up, just dove right into that cold water.
Straight out of the gates. Katie Stoll here. I agree with
champing
you guys.
Champing at the bit to fuck some shit up.
New 2020 opened with, you know, it opened real strong for it, so it's got to follow up.
Yeah, you got to raise the game.
Warmed 2020 warmed up the crowd, now 2021 is really going for it.
I guess we should start by talking about one of the two major things to happen this year. There was, of course, the attempted insurrection at the Capitol, and then in an equally significant national event, the mayor of Portland maced a guy like a couple of days ago. So the mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, is trash. You may know him from that time when he got tear gassed by the feds in order to make a campaign ad while also tear gassing thousands of people throughout the city for weeks prior to that.
I do know him from that.
Yeah, he's not great. So people found out that he has been continuing to eat out at restaurants, often with people who are not in his immediate household, which you're not supposed to do as a part of the lockdown orders, and often not abiding by social distancing because he's rich and he doesn't want to stop going out to fancy restaurants with his friends. So people have been confronting him and yelling at him. At one point, an activist touched him on the shoulder and he claimed that he was assaulted. He's a big old baby. And the other day, a man came up to him and the former mayor of Portland, whose name is Sam Adams, and who also is trash, and who Ted
like
Wheeler
the beer,
is hiring.
Right?
Like yeah, the like beer. The beer. Like the beer. And the two of them were eating, and this guy started, you know, talking to them pretty calmly, but like critically, like saying that he's a shit mayor, basically. And Ted Wheeler, despite the fact that Ted was there with another person and that this other person that he maced was like 5'5", much smaller than him, and not at all being physically aggressive based on any of the evidence that exists, Ted maced him and then threw a water bottle at him.
What did the guy confront him about? It was just
the fact
about
that
being
he's
masked.
A shit mayor. That he, one thing, that he was not social distancing and that he was eating dinner with a mask off, with someone who's not in his immediate household, which, again, you're not supposed to do, and most of us are not doing because there's a horrible plague.
The guy wasn't wearing a mask either. Is that correct?
No. We don't really know. That's what Ted claims, but that's, some of Ted's claims have been proven to be a lie already.
Exactly.
Yeah, because Ted's a liar. Mm. So I don't know. Could be a whole bunch of people that weren't being safe enough. Like, that happens too.
All the time.
But, yeah, it does look like, based on the letter of the law, Ted Wheeler committed a Class A misdemeanor by assaulting somebody. Now, I don't think he'll get any criminal charges because he's a rich mayor. But it is funny, particularly that he threw a water bottle at a guy, which in Portland, when we had our, we had a big series of public interrogations, basically, of the police over use of force incidents. And they repeatedly claimed that, like, they had to tear gas and beat people because people were throwing water bottles and, like, made a point of how dangerous a thrown water bottle could be. Mm-hmm. So it's very funny that the mayor, who is the commissioner of the police in Portland, hucked a water bottle at a guy.
Yeah, that's the tale as old as time. Every protest, you get one water bottle tossed, and that means the tear gas goes flying.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Or in Ted Wheeler's case, I guess both of them go flying at the exact same time from the same person, being the mayor.
The mayor. It's very funny, and I, you know, who knows? It would be neat if Ted Wheeler got sued over this, just because I hate Ted Wheeler, and I would like anything that makes his life worse. I doubt he will. I would like to take this opportunity to challenge him to a fist fight. Because I will say that when he maced that guy, I don't respect Ted Wheeler, but that was the closest I've gotten to respecting him. Because at least he did it himself, you know, as opposed to having the cops do it. So Ted, if you want to potentially earn my respect, let's have a fist fight. Let's
famously,
have a fist fight, Ted.
He does
a consensual fist fight. This isn't a threat.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to consent to a formal fist fight with me.
He does listen to this show, so
he does. He's a huge fan.
Huge fan of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
We await your response.
Yeah.
Two great
friends of the pod are, of course, Ted Kaczynski and Ted Wheeler. Yeah. The two Teds, we call them.
The two Teds.
We're shooting for Cruz. We're hoping Cruz gets on board.
The trifecta.
Soon.
That'll be the
Ted
real
trifecta.
My money's on Robert.
Like, good luck with your trial by combat, Robert.
My money's on
me,
too.
We'll live stream it for charity.
Yes, we will.
Katie?
Yes?
I don't know. You were about to say something. I was waiting.
That's all I've got on that fun update from the city of Portland.
That is a fun update. Robert, do you have enough information to talk to us a bit about Tacoma and what happened there over the weekend?
Yeah. I mean, we're still in a very, to the best of my knowledge, a kind of uncertain state. So basically what happened is, like, this is, for whatever reason, it seems to be a bigger thing in the PNW even than it was in L.A., like, we have a big reckless street racing culture, and it is a problem. People get killed and hurt and stuff, like, doing really dumb shit on the roads. It happens in Portland a lot. And people were, like, doing burnouts, and I don't know what they were doing at Tacoma was dangerous. I don't know, but, like, people gathering to do shit with cars that isn't technically illegal. Some of it's dangerous, some of it's not. In Tacoma, I think they were just doing burnouts and stuff, which I don't think is that big a threat, but the cops came. And so, like, a crowd surrounded the police with their cameras, and were, like, yelling at the cop who was trying to shut stuff down, and he drove through a crowd of people, seriously injuring, like, both sets of wheels went over the guy that he hit.
Yeah, the video
the worst.
Is unbelievably disturbing.
It's very bad. The cops claim that he thought he was going to get his windows broken out and be assaulted, and that, you know, and legally, if you're surrounded by a mob trying to break into your car, you can drive through a crowd. Now, if you have no other options, and number one, there's evidence that shows, because he backed up before he drove through the crowd, that he could have just backed up and gotten away. And number two, there's pretty clear shots of the police vehicle, which show no damage to the sides or the windows. So there's no evidence that people were trying to get in. And just being surrounded by people filming you in a car, I don't think justifies ramming. Like, if you are surrounded by a mob in a car trying to break into your car and drag you out, if you drive through that crowd, I don't know, like, it's not great, but you can make an argument that it's self-defense, right? If people are actually, like, that's some of that shit happened in the LA riots. People were, like, pulled out of vehicles and beaten, and it's like, whatever. That's what the police, I think, are trying to claim happened in Tacoma. There's no evidence that that is, in fact, what happened in Tacoma. It looks like a cop got angry and drove through a crowd. we don't
I just
yeah
yeah I think the irony of cops showing up to shut down some dangerous car related activities and ends up driving through a crowd of pedestrians. You can't make that up.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? When you really get down to it, you can argue, people can argue like whether or not the cops actions in that moment were justified by some sort of like threat to the police officer's life. But if the cop hadn't showed up, people would have been doing burnouts in Tacoma and probably nobody would have gotten run over by a car. And then the cop showed up and somebody got ran over by a car, which is a reoccurring story of cops, you know, something would not have been as much of a problem as it was. And then the cop showed up and somebody got hurt.
Very interesting how that keeps happening every day.
Yeah, it's really rad, I think, that it's rad. Mm-hmm. And good.
Rad and good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There was a protest the other day. It seems to have been kind of a shit show because the thing happened whenever, like, because it went viral, like, nationwide, the footage of what was happening in Tacoma. And so there was a protest, and people on the ground are saying that it was, like, either swooped or led from the beginning by people who are not local to Tacoma, didn't know where they were going or what they were doing. There was some really neat shit that was done, including, like a vigil outside of a jail for incarcerated people. But also it seems like some frustrating bullshit. Anyway, I don't know enough about everything that happened. It is kind of the thing that does occur whenever you've got like a big national story that leads to protests, is like people who are kind of coming in for the clout will show up. And it seems like there was some element of that, but also, I know some people who are on the ground and some aspects of it seemed pretty good. There were one of the weird things that did happen, not weird because it happens all the time in Washington, but a bunch of right-wing counter-protesters showed up. Counter-protesters is the wrong word. A bunch of right-wingers showed up and assaulted members of the crowd, including, we've seen this in Salem too, spraying them with wasp poison.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's what a lot of them like to use instead of bear mace now because it does more permanent damage. It can do more permanent damage, which is why whenever I show up at events where there's going to be right-wing counter-protesters, as soon as I see them, I put a gas mask on. Like, you kind of have to, because they love to use mace and they never get punished for it. Like the mayor of Portland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bringing it full circle there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cody, that's my update from the PNW. I hear you've got some fun, sexy, interesting Sarah Huckson news. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
my
nickname for Sarah Huckabee
PNW,
Sanders.
The politics... No! What?
What?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders is running for governor of Arkansas.
Gross!
As if Arkansas doesn't have enough on its plate.
Yeah. I just wanted to discuss this, her announcement ad, and just the general idea, because, you know, she'll probably win. That's where we're at right now. Her father, obviously, former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, who's now doing his own version of The Daily Show on, I forget what streaming service it is, but check it out. It's terrible. She is running for governor after mostly working on her father's campaigns and then her father's failed presidential campaign and then being press secretary for Donald Trump and lying to everybody for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So she's a hero, is what you're saying.
She is a hero.
A patriot.
Patriot hero. From her ad, she's a hero. She opens up talking about a trip she went on with the president, Trump, to Iraq, where a soldier thanked her for, you know, fighting for freedom for the country.
Wait. Cody, mm-hmm. You're going to have to... That happened?
It happened in the video that she claimed that it happened, yes.
Wait, is there actual evidence of that occurring, or is it one of those, like...
There's a photo of her with a soldier, uh-huh. And there's a photo of the patch that he allegedly gave her, and there's her telling the story of it happening.
I mean, maybe it happened. That's quite terrible.
He thanked her, and she said, "No, you're the real hero. I just do this."
And then
he ripped off his patch and gave it to her.
Oh my god! I want it, fucking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, It's good.
Ted, fist fight. Come on, man. Come on.
Ted, find a Wheeler gym to
do
Sarah
it.
And
we can do it
Huckabee
outside
Sanders.
Because of COVID. I know you don't take COVID seriously, but I do. We'll do it outside. I'll wear a gas mask.
Yeah, you wear
I'm
a gas
used
mask.
To fighting in a gas mask thanks to your cops.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Ted. Come on, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
There are just so many things about this ad, aside from the fact that, like, it's Sarah Huckabee Sanders and she's just a liar. And, like, what makes her.
She's
like,
just a liar, yeah.
Just a liar. And, like, what do you. Governor of Arkansas, excuse me? Because your dad was? What? Excuse me? Because your brother killed a dog, allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
What is it with these people and harming dogs? Like, Mitt Romney got blasted. It's the thing we always forget about Mitt Romney when he's the only reasonable Republican, is that time he tortured a dog.
He tied a dog on his car and went on a fucking drive.
It's so insane. Like, who does that? You put your dog on the top of your car? What is wrong with you?
It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's unreasonable.
Yeah.
It's a silly thing to do if mm-hmm. you've got a dog. Also, everything Trump says, like a dog, is abusive.
Yes.
Hurt him like a dog, fired him like a dog, kicked him like a dog, or whatever, I don't know, phrases like that.
Yeah, don't kick dogs.
Don't kick your dog.
So, this ad is a fascinating window into the future of, the GOP in general, quote, post-Trump, if that time period will ever actually exist. Because, well, first of all, she talks about how, you know, rule of law is under attack. And the two examples she gives are the congressional baseball shooting and the storming of the Capitol.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if we want to talk about, the difference between what people said for the other one to happen and the other one to happen. It's fine. Those are the two. Those are the two things. Those are the two examples of the political violence we see.
The only two.
The only two, because Bernie Sanders said the government, they're not your friends.
And they're not.
And they're not. And the president saying that they stole the election. It's real. It's happening. They're doing it right now. Go to them peacefully, but go to them now. And anyway, so that's the very beginning of it. And then she does a brief just rundown of phrases you might be familiar with about the radical left, socialism, cancel culture is said, radical left again. The thing is, and they're going to succeed in doing this, throughout the entire ad, she talks about the radical left in control of Washington.
Yes.
Which is, I'm sorry, but yes. No, ma'am.
The radical left guaranteeing us a $15 minimum wage within the next, I don't know,
in
decade
5 years.
So.
5 years. Yeah. If the government was my friend, they would want me to be able to pay my rent. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
If the government was your friend, they wouldn't say, when we said $2,000 checks, we meant an additional $1,400 to the $600.
And then say, even though we said we're willing to negotiate checks. About the $1,400.
Well, yeah. Really negotiate, yes.
Like a friend.
About who gets to get that money also. Mm-hmm.
Bad. Yeah. Maybe,
I love it when my friends
messaging.
Means test me.
That's a true test of friendship, though.
Mm-hmm. Is means testing.
They don't want you to. They don't want you to get reliant on the mm-hmm. one-time $2,000 check.
Tough so. Love that
yeah,
we all respond
I remember
very well.
Exactly.
To.
One time, my buddy was like, "Hey, could you pick me up? I'm like 10 doors down from your house, and my car's broken down. I could use a ride back home." And I was like, "Well, what's your annual income? Can you afford a Lyft or an Uber? Because you know, I need to make sure you deserve my help before I actually come and pick you up."
And you don't want to let your friends take advantage of you.
No. You don't want to encourage dependency either. Mm-mm. You know,
exactly.
That's really key in friendship, is not encouraging dependency.
Well, it's tough, but it's in their best interest, right? They have to learn how to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This has been fun.
Mm-hmm. We learned a lot about friendship today. Mm-hmm. I guess we should just be thankful that they didn't say, well, $7.25 per hour is the current federal minimum wage, and so to raise it to $15, you would need $7.75, right? You add $7.75, so actually we're raising it to $7.75 an hour. So that's, you know, bonus, right? They didn't raise it 50 cents to add them together. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is worried about the radical left. She wants your prayers. She thinks America is great because we're free, but also everything we love about America is at stake. So I guess we didn't make it great again, or we did, I guess. I don't know. The mention of socialism and tyranny in relation to the images of Joe Biden and Jim Acosta are quite striking to me. The claim that she managed crisis after crisis, but what she means is she just lied a bunch. Mm-hmm. She cited the Little Rock Nine.
Jesus Christ.
Sarah. What?
For what?
Fucking
hell. As just something about Arkansas. She's listed off a bunch of things. And then, you know, we do great things. And then she cited the Little Rock Nine, which I'm gonna suggest that maybe.
Did she have a lot to do with that?
Maybe she didn't. And maybe her party today is maybe antithetical to those kinds of ideals.
Because it's a fascist political party. Because it's fascist. Yeah.
Law and order, though, is important. She's gonna
Law and order is important to fascists.
Exactly. she's going to reinstill. I don't know. It's unclear if there's no law and order, if there's too much law and order from the government, right? Mm-hmm. Because you need law and order, but also the government is in control of you.
The government's bad, but you need law and order. Conservatism is consistent.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish in the moment.
Right, okay. Yeah, so we need law and order, but not from the government, but from the law and the order.
But from the law and the order people.
Yeah.
I love, conservatism, it's a land of contrasts. we get a line of...
Sorry.
It's beautiful. We get a line about how she wants to champion good schools and teachers for our children. And... school choice if those schools aren't good enough for you. So that seems maybe like one should come before the other, and maybe if you need school choice because the schools and teachers are bad, then maybe you don't actually mean that you're going to try to champion good schools and teachers.
Yeah,
because
you want them
to go to other schools
because you want kids with money to have good schools, and you want to not have to pay for the schools of people who aren't white and rich.
Exactly. But also we want to champion the good schools and the teachers. We want to say we want to champion them.
I will say, if we were going to do that, my very favorite meme format, where you have the scene from a Predator where the two hands, the black hand and the white hand, are like clasping in the middle. Mm-hmm. What unites the Republicans and Democrats is making teachers go back to work during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can all agree on that.
It's time.
And I will say, as a recovering third grader, it's about time we really stuck it to teachers, right?
Absolutely. You know,
fuck them.
They've had it coming for...
They've had it good for too long.
They're just one step away from cops, and we all know it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're just book cops. They're book cops.
Book cops, exactly. So, like I said, it's an interesting window into what we're going to see, because, like,
Sarah Suckabee Sanders.
Let's roll with it.
That's obvious, but it's good.
I apologize for the slip. She promises to hold the line against the attacks on our freedom and push forward with fresh ideas under a new generation of leadership. And I always find this fascinating, this push forward with fresh new ideas. And the list of ideas are like school choice and lowering taxes. And it's just so funny to me because
fresh
it's
and
just,
bold.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, this isn't your dad's conservatism. This is my dad's conservatism through me. It's just so silly to frame this as like it's anything fresh or new. Law and order, low taxes. End of story. That's it. But we're going to push forward with those fresh new ideas because why not just say whatever you want?
Yeah.
And the thing that she really just like ends it on, which I think is also interesting, is it culminates the music throughout the whole thing. It's like 7.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
Otherwise I would have like had us play the audio so we could hear it, but we're not doing that. Nobody should have to watch
Also, why would we want
that? That's a third of a Simpsons. You could be through the first act of the monorail episode.
Exactly.
Instead, which is better for you.
Yeah.
And
we'll
teach
watch
you
that.
More about America, actually.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Absolutely.
Wow, dang. All right. so instead of watching her ad, just watch 1/3 of or an entire episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah. First 10 seasons or
they're consistently relevant, even to this day. It culminates with this music sort of, she's asking for prayers and stuff, and she lists off things she is. And the very first thing she says in big, bold letters, Christian.
Liar.
Close. She did use the phrase, but here's the truth at one point, which is funny for her to say. Christian, I always find it's just another, they need to frame themselves as being under attack so that they can proudly say that they are, because it's safe to say that you're a Christian in America, but you need to be the victim, right? You need, I'm proudly saying that I'm a Christian, unlike the cancel culture political correctness that won't let me say I'm a Christian, but I will.
I'm brave for speaking up about my Christianity.
She's brave about the country that we live in. I'm Christian. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, imagining literally any other ad saying, like, Muslim, like,
proudly Muslim
in this way, and the reaction it would have.
It's a whole conservative thing that is pretending you're brave for loving something that is incredibly popular to love. It's like, as long as you're brave enough to support the troops, it's like, yes, thank you for courageously supporting the most heavily armed organization in the history of the human race. Yeah. They were really struggling without your help.
Yeah. They needed your input and your support.
Yes. Good. Very brave of you to identify with the dominant religion in the entire nation that every single president has to repeatedly, fucking point out his belief in order to win.
It goes without saying that life is very hard for Christians in America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Under attack.
We need to take a quick break.
You know who else is under attack?
Who?
The products and services that support this podcast. Under attack by your wallet.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Back from that ad break. Cool. Yep, we saved all those products and services. Nice. Now let's pivot to the news. Oof, this was bad. I'm rusty here.
No, it was great. We pivoted. No, it's the successful pivot. Now we're talking about the news.
Now we're talking about the news. I want to bring something up again before we roll in, because I've seen this spread on Twitter and it's inaccurate. People are, particularly left Twitters, going off about how Joe Biden has invaded Syria or sent a bunch of troops into Syria or escalated in Syria. That hasn't happened. Video of a convoy carrying supplies into Syria from Iraq was initially shared by the Syrian government because they don't want U.S. troops in northeast Syria. And people started flipping out that Biden is escalating or like invading Syria. That has not happened. Trump never left Syria. We continue to have hundreds of troops in Syria the entirety of the time Trump was there. All they're doing is protecting oil now, as opposed to protecting oil and protecting some civilian populations. And throughout the entire Trump administration, because we had troops in Syria, we would send in supplies. And that's all that that video is. There is no evidence that Biden has changed in any way at this point U.S. policy in northeast Syria. Someone just shared a video of a convoy of supplies going into the country. So if you had an issue with Trump being in Syria, you have the same issue with Biden, but nothing has changed. Like, there's no new alteration at this moment.
There will be plenty of things to be mad about with Joe Biden and international affairs, but hold off on this one.
Wait for him to do something new as opposed to continue to send supplies to the troops that never left, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, be angry at him for the Venezuela shit, for inviting Juan Guaido to his inauguration and repeatedly trying to recognize as the elected leader of Venezuela a guy who is not the elected leader of Venezuela.
There
Which,
you
like,
go.
Maduro trash and didn't win legitimately either, but Guaido sure didn't. Like, it's fucking, it's nonsense. It's the same shit we did with Taiwan and the Republic of China for the years. Like, it's this thing America does where it's like, we don't like the leader of this country. Let's pretend a different group of people are in charge, and this will work out for us somehow.
Yeah, we're really good at that.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
We're really good at that position.
Yeah.
Not the
well, and it's very selective. It's not like it would be one thing. It would still be dumb, but it would be one thing if it was just a principled stance we took on all dictators. But we are happy to talk with Erdogan of Turkey. We're happy to talk with what's his fuck, the guy, the president of Hungary, who Orban, who's but a dictator in name. We work with a bunch of we love working with we love arming dictators. We love helping dictators crush left-wing rebellions. Mm-hmm. We just decide some dictators we will pretend aren't the actual leaders of their countries because we don't like those particular dictators.
Yeah, it depends on what they can do for us.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a sign that Biden's probably going to try some fuckery with Venezuela. But I guess we'll see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like, we can talk about a Secretary of State at a different time. Yeah. But he's gonna do a lot. He's gonna do a lot of fuckery.
He's gonna fuck up a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
General Lloyd.
Austin.
Austin Lloyd. Yeah.
We got Austin. We got Blinken.
Well, hey, let's not look, Lloyd Austin. We got a lot of Raytheon money coming in, okay? Like, we don't want to...
Really? Well...
The shining beacon of hope, Lloyd Austin.
Which is why we're so thrilled that we have a representative from Raytheon finally, in this administration.
And
that's a direct conduit from us to them.
From us to Raytheon. Yeah, and I think, you know, representation is obviously incredibly important. And I think there's a lot of Raytheon Americans who didn't feel represented before. And now they have a direct line to the halls of power. And that's huge for Raytheon Americans.
Mm-hmm. Proud Raytheon American.
Proud Raytheon Americans.
This is the kind of identity politics I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pivot here to talk about COVID stuff. Does that
the news
good? It doesn't. It shouldn't seem good, but fair.
Fair
and balanced.
Fair and
balanced. Yeah, guys. Hate to break it to you, but we are still in a pandemic. And it's weird. I've been talking about this with friends and on these shows as well. It does, things feel lighter since the inauguration in some way on Twitter, or at least it did last week. Mm-hmm. You know, you felt a little sense of relief, but then you're like, oh yeah, there's still this giant anvil hanging over all of our heads. So let's talk about that. You probably saw this on Twitter, but as of Monday, California and Gavin Newsom has lifted its stay-at-home order, which is shocking and terrifying for all of us in many ways. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we were still being considered the epicenter. And yes, statewide numbers in California are improving, but they're still awful. They are still way worse than previously also unacceptable levels. So it's difficult, and it's difficult. That's putting an understatement. It's infuriating. I found this fun little LA Times article with just the most appalling headline. Newsom's abrupt COVID-19 reopening brings high risks for California, but also potential economic rewards. And very, very infuriating, because that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? This is probably bad, but
we get those economic rewards.
I love economic.
Who doesn't like economic rewards?
This motherfucker never even closed indoor malls.
Never even closed indoor malls. And
well,
look,
it's not like the virus spreads indoors, guys.
No.
The virus only spreads when people hang out with their friends, not when they hang out with products and services, which are incapable of spreading disease.
Yeah, the only thing that spreads in malls is money.
Yeah. All right, here's a quote from that terrible headlined article. UC Berkeley epidemiologist Dr. John Swartzberg said he feared lifting the stay-at-home order was premature because the cases, while declining, remained very high. He said it might make more sense to wait a few weeks until cases go down further and California can begin reopening with a lower baseline. He noted that after last year's spring and summer surges, California failed to bring its case numbers to a low level before reopening. That meant that when the next surge hit, it became even bigger than the one before it. It's like we're climbing this mountain. We go two steps up and we just take one step back, and we take two steps up from there and one step back, and we just keep having more cases.
See, I would love it if we were taking two steps forward and one step back, because that's steady progress.
I would as well. But that's not what we're doing. We're doing a lot better than we were 2.5 weeks ago, but we're doing terrible compared to 3 months ago. We need to knock these cases down so we get more and more people vaccinated. We'll get to a safer environment much more quickly. Now, I think it's important to be honest about the situation, which is that California is not a monolith here. We've got different regions that have different needs and different
expectations. There's a shit ton of people here.
There's a shit ton of people there.
There's more people than the vast majority of nations on Earth living in California. There's like 40 million of you.
It's like there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to this that works for California and our demographics.
That's one of the consistent tremendous problems with California is you have huge chunks of the country's landmass whose lives have nothing in common with the lives of people in San Diego, Los Angeles, Sacramento, San Francisco, who decide every election. But they're like, well, I guess let's push a gas tax that will be fine for me and affordable for me and improve my air quality, but be financially ruinous to farmers in the valley or in fucking the north central mountain area. And I'm never going to think about that because they're shitty hicks. And it's the same thing.
Right.
It's like, let's. It's the problem with American democracy writ large, where you have either, because of the way the Electoral College is set out, these less populated rural areas getting to force their will on everyone, or the cities getting to force their will on everyone. And it just kind of escalates number one, it never works very well. And number two, it just escalates everybody towards violence, because one way or the other, a huge chunk of the country is rightfully enraged that they don't have a voice. As opposed to, I don't know, a system of libertarian municipalism.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I understand that approaching this it's a very tricky, delicate dance for politicians, but you don't just lift the whole state at once when different regions are still drowning. Nope. We barely have any ICU space. I believe it's better. I don't have the exact numbers
here.
Is it at zero? Because I'd see some things like, I mean,
it's gone up.
Truly
it's
unbelievable.
It's improved the bare minimum. I mean, a friend of mine summarized it in like a really interesting way. It's like if your sports team has lost the last 25 games and then they win one game by 1 or 2 points, you're still worried about your sports team.
You're still worried about the team. They're not doing great. Also, our vaccine rollout here is a joke. I mean, people are finally getting their parents in.
Why hasn't my grandma, who's in assisted living, who's 89 fucking years old, gotten the vaccine? Mm-hmm. Why does the assisted living get no information from the city?
Well, hey, guys, I have some good news. Gavin Newsom just removed essential workers from the vaccine priority list.
Was just about to pivot to that as well.
Oh, sorry. Sorry,
no,
Katie.
No. Thank you. I mean, it's gruesome.
Gruesome news.
Black and brown communities are being devastated right now because they're comprised of essential workers. Also, like we talked about, I believe on this show with you, Robert, the demographics, the LA has the biggest population of multifamilies sharing in residences. All of this is just
one of the major problems we're dealing with, right? That is particularly hit Los Angeles, but is hitting everywhere. Is that as a result of the economic collapse, a lot more people than ever are living multiple families to a household because people are unable to make rent. So they move in with their parents or move in with friends or whatever. So it just is all compounding each other and is all made much worse by the fact that we refused as a country to have any kind of meaningful aid to people during this.
I mean, it all comes back down to that. But then, so I was already at like a level, but then that amplified when I read this New York Times article, which, okay, we're going to talk about the New York Times at length soon, so forgive me. We have issues with them, but also here's this article. Don't forgive me. I don't need to ask your forgiveness.
The frustrating thing about the New York Times is that they simultaneously are always fucking up and also always doing some of the most important journalism in the world. And both of those things occur within the same paper.
Right.
It's very, very frustrating.
I say this only because we had planned to talk about New York Times this week, but we're going to push it off for an in-depth media episode.
Yeah.
But yes, there's this article about how vaccinations aren't enough. Titled, Why Vaccines Alone Won't End the Pandemic. It is common sense, but basically it lays out that at this point we're in too deep to just rely on vaccinations to save us. In some places like Vermont, where the infection rate is very low, yes, vaccines can be very and will be very effective. And this isn't to dismiss the efficacy of vaccinations in general. It's to underscore just how badly we've been doing.
We're a magic bullet society, and they just don't exist.
They just don't exist. But
except
in
for
order...
the magic bullet that Bernie Sanders used to take out JFK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, and like vampires and werewolves and shit. But that's different.
Silver.
The places that have bungled the COVID response thus far, meaning a lot of the country, where infections are running rampant, it takes a real coordinated effort to continue, you know, social distancing, mask wearing, aggressive testing, likely throughout summer. Social distancing, masking, and other measures should remain in place until late July, and that may be optimistic, said Dr. Shaman. Otherwise, yet another resurgence of the virus is possible. There are people who are going to want to relax the controls they have in place. If we start thinking we've got a vaccine, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, we can stop in a couple months, that's way too soon. Lifting restrictions in early February, after most healthcare workers and nursing home residents are set to be vaccinated, would still mean far more infections in the long run than keeping restrictions in place until mid-March. The article goes on to illustrate how prematurely reopening now, such as what California is inching towards doing, and is doing, you know, it will likely kill about 20,000 more people than if we maintained current practices.
Jesus
Christ. And it's just upsetting. Also, I think we should talk about COVID mutations real quick, not to be alarmist, but it all factors into this. You know, there's been a lot of talk and dismissal of them in a way because it's really hard to go down that what if path. But ultimately, you know, COVID does mutate fast and we have different variants popping up all over the world. Some of them are proving to be deadlier, more contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a concern that the vaccine will become less effective against these strains. Now, right now, that is not proven to be true. It does seem to be less effective with some of them, but it still works. But we're just going to need to take some more time to collect data on that. But the real reason I'm saying this is that it's going to continue to evolve, and there is a potential that it evolves past our vaccine. Mm-hmm. And there are ways to handle this. They are continuing to work on the vaccine. There will be booster shots. But again, as we are struggling to get a handle on this, that is a very real concern, even as we're in the process of vaccinating everybody. So what are we doing, California?
Well, what are we doing, America and the UK?
America.
Like, both of these, yeah. Both the United States and the UK in particular have decided, let's become a petri dish to allow the coronavirus to evolve as quickly as possible into something that we can't possibly handle. And the end result of this is going to be that the coronavirus will never be, we won't ever get over it. It will always, it will be a seasonal thing that kills more people than the flu ever did that never leaves and will contribute to the breakdown in both of our societies because our governments, again, refused to take any kind of corrective action because it would have probably led to the result of a whole bunch of Americans being like, oh, you know what? It kind of looks like socialist style policies maybe helped a lot. And I like getting $1,500, $2,000 a month. And maybe that's a thing we could do forever. But instead of doing that, we're going to crash the economy and kill probably millions of Americans. And I don't know. I'm very pessimistic as a result of the fact that we seem to be refusing to let this get beaten, which it could have been in 3 months.
Yeah.
In the same day, it was like the coverage was, hey, maybe you should wear two masks instead of one. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, maybe we should start thinking about a booster for the vaccine. Oh, California is reopening.
Yep. And again, you should be doubling up on your mask. I've started wearing, I have a double layer cloth mask and a double layer fabric a paper mask. I wear both now whenever I go out. Like that seems to be like, fuck it. If you've got a respirator, throw that fucker on. If you were getting tear gas last year, use a respirator. Like it's this new version of the virus is real goddamn bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very scary.
And it mutates so quickly.
Well, I mean, it mutates at the rate any virus does if you let it spread unchecked. You know,
yes,
like that's the
problem.
But
like, I mean, you're just seeing variants everywhere, though.
Have you guys ever heard the, I don't know if it's a parable or whatever you want to call it, the story of the Sword of Damocles?
Mm-mm.
I don't know if it's from the Bible or whatever, but there's this king and he's got sitting above his throne, the idea that like the king should never rest too easy on his throne. There's this sword hanging from a string and you never know when the sword's going to fall and like kill you. And the coronavirus is our Sword of Damocles. And we were like, what if we use that string as a shoelace? Like that's the fucking United States. God damn it.
I think we need to take another break. We got to cool off and reconvene.
Yeah, we got to chill out.
It's a good
get in the cool zone.
Buck up.
It's a good thing.
We're never leaving
the cool
zone.
Podcast is brought
Cody.
To you by Jenny's cold ice creams.
Mm-hmm.
Cool
and
down.
And this podcast is also brought to you by Raytheon. Speaking of swords that fall out of the sky, Raytheon's new R9X knife missile can launch a missile at any vehicle anywhere in Yemen you want in a matter of minutes. Just think of how many cars you could fill with knives in Yemen, and primarily Yemen, because that's where Raytheon makes a lot of its money right now, is killing people in Yemen.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Cool, those ads were fun. We're back now. Yes.
Yes.
Shall we talk about Kellyanne Conway? She's on all of our Twitter feeds right now.
Yeah.
Seems like a good way to end.
And George Conway.
And George Conway. That is my real important point I want to make today as well. If you guys missed this on Twitter, I actually don't know exactly what happened. Kellyanne apparently tweeted then deleted a nude photo
her
of her daughter, Claudia.
On her
yeah, she fleeted some child pornography of her daughter.
Yeah.
And I think this happened because she took confiscated Claudia's phone and then took the pictures and somehow, I don't know. It's a nightmare. This girl is suffering so much abuse.
She's 16.
In her house. She's 16. The thing that you mentioned, yeah, George Conway, and that sticks out to me because present company, but so many people on the left, I'll say, you know, celebrate George Conway as the resistance hero, you know, Lincoln Project, all that. He's he is trash, but in this situation,
yeah,
he's just as responsible for the abuse that's happening in his household as his wife.
Yes, take her if you're really a good guy and hate your fucking wife as much as you pretend to, take your daughter and run. Like,
yeah, save your daughter, divorce your Nazi wife, and try to get off Twitter,
Christ,
you piece of garbage.
But he's a grifter. He and Kellyanne have no moral issues with each other. They're just trying to grift both ends of the spectrum while abusing their daughter. And it's fucking horrible. My heart goes out to that poor kid.
Yeah, it's...
Who has, by the way, done everything right? Who has done the only things that she could possibly do in this situation, which is try to get out word of what's happening to her, because her parents are rich and powerful, which means that she cannot... She is... It is impossible for CPS to do anything, because CPS isn't actually...
Use the platform they gave you, those assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen her connecting with, other... influencers like Tana Mojo, who's also suffered a lot of traumatic child abuse, and just people reaching out to try to help her, but not her parents.
And it's heartbreaking. Yeah, it's fucking
sucks.
It seems very clear going through some pretty profound abuse, and would probably just be a lot better off if she could crowdfund rent for an apartment for a year and just cool the fuck out as she finishes becoming an adult. Fuck away from those parents. They're not helping.
I agree. What else we got?
It's just disgusting.
Impeachment articles have been filed.
Woo!
Sent to the Senate,
45 senators said, no, leave him alone. Leave our big boy alone.
Cancel culture!
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Impeachment is the zenith of cancel culture, I heard from Matt Gaetz, I believe.
Yeah, it's incredible.
An impeachable person to quote. I don't know. struggling here. Twitter has permanently banned the MyPillow guy.
Fuck yeah.
Finally. The only responsible branch of the U.S. government, Twitter.
Did I see that Trump snuck his way back on Twitter, kind of?
Yeah,
the former office of the president shit?
Yeah, it hasn't started doing anything yet that I've seen, but I guess we'll see if this is the fourth time he's tried to evade his ban.
Was it you that called it Twitter whack-a-mole? Somebody did, and I loved it.
It wasn't me, but yes. That is what happened. And that day, the day that Trump repeatedly tried and failed to get back on Twitter, was legitimately the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Extremely funny. Just constantly trying alts. I wonder what his actual alt is, though. He's got one. He's definitely lurking.
He's definitely lurking, and I think he's probably going through some pretty hard withdrawals. Like, I don't know if he's going to survive this.
Yeah.
No, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to him.
It is eerie in a way to not have eyes on him. To not, like, what are you up to? It's going to take a minute to get out of your system.
When you hear your cat, like, knocking over water glasses and you yell at it to stop, and then you don't hear your cat for a while and you can't see it, and you're like, what the fuck are you up to, you fucking cat?
You're doing something. I knew it. I knew it.
Something's going on.
That's exactly how I feel. I keep being like, no. Okay, I'm not going to find it from Twitter. It's just going to take some time for us to get him out of our system.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter is much better now. It's still terrible, but it's so much better.
It is slightly better, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough.
Yeah. We should talk about the Biden private prisons thing.
I was going to say, I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
A thing that is simultaneously good and also not nearly what people think it is, like the $15 minimum wage thing, right?
Yeah,
where it's like minimum wage going up to $15 in 2025.
Right.
It's
when they're just so frustrating. I'm sorry. It's just
It's we're closing some private prisons, but only about like 8% or so. Whereas we're allowing like Department of Homeland Security and ICE to continue using private prisons, which is a much bigger problem.
Majority of private prisons are for that.
Yeah, the vast majority of private prisons will not be affected by this. Which doesn't mean it's not nothing, but like everything that Biden does that's kind of good, it's not nearly as good as you would think if you read the 150-word summary.
Well, right. It's not it's like it's all this Biden shit. He does these things and they're mostly performative.
Well, explain it more what he's doing.
Well, I mean, he's reversing an order that Trump did. Like, this is Trump Trump reversed an Obama order to ban private prisons.
Right.
And then so Biden is reversing that reversal. Maybe just like reverting it back to that point is definitely not enough of a thing.
Maybe.
It's like a signal and performative thing of like, well, no, this is progress. Like, well, it's not progress. You're just reversing the thing that you reversed.
I do love people I've seen a few people on Twitter. Biden is undoing everything that Trump left us, all of the improvements.
You know, what he did undo is a price cap on insulin.
Yeah, he did. Did he actually go through with undoing that?
Well, that never.
I thought it was under review.
The insulin rule that Trump was trying to do never actually got implemented.
Yeah.
So basically, Biden did like a blanket, like we're undoing all the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
And that was included. They might review it. Ideally, they would review it.
It was frozen by HHS. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully in the next week or so, they'll actually review that and be like, well, maybe insulin should be cheap for people.
Insulin, it's insulin and epinephrine. Okay. And you're right. This is the kind of thing that is, it's the other species of thing where it's like, maybe not as bad as it seems because they might actually, like, it didn't ever go through and they might decide to, like, actually put those price caps
right.
I guess we'll see.
I mean, hopes are pretty low on a lot of this stuff, but it's important to be, you know, as accurate as possible, filtering through the frustration.
Right.
But even then, like, the private prison thing, again, it is just a reversal of a reversal. It doesn't do nearly enough because, again, like, most of these private prisons are not the ones that are being banned. Also, like, it's being presented as like end of private prison contracts for these private prisons as part of a racial equity push. And like, that's not what that would do. Like, a racial equity push would be like to like let people
dismantle
out of prison
ICE.
And like, dismantle ICE. You know, anyone in prison for so many different things, release them, expunge their records, things like that.
And reverse
the war on drugs that Biden was a huge part in implementing.
Yes.
Like, all this stuff is just not He's not doing it.
And you know, I have two lines. One would be if Biden actually were to end the war on drugs, or at least do everything a president can to end the war on drugs. He's obviously, like, there's a number of things that the president can't do. He can't, like, unschedule a drug or something. And if he were to actually dismantle ICE, I would spend an entire day standing in front of a government building with a sign that says, you know what? Biden did better than I thought he would.
Better than I thought.
That is my problem. Yeah.
You heard
Biden
it here right now.
ICE, I
that
will
is
do
a
that.
Promise and a commitment Whole that Robert day. Will do if that happens.
The entirety of the daylight hours, I will stand in front of a government building with a sign that says, you know what? Biden did better than I thought he would. So, yeah. Joe,
that's a big deal because you don't get up early.
I don't get up early. Mm-hmm. And if Joe Biden wants that, all he's got to do is dismantle ICE.
No big
Come
deal.
Come on. Just
I'd be willing
simple,
to bet I could get other
that,
people
but...
out there with me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you dismantle ICE, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Good luck doing that, Joe.
I don't think I'm
going
to have to get
you.
Up early this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think you're good. I think you can sleep
that's
in.
That's a safe
I think
bet.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Well.
I think that does it for us today. Sophie's going to take the rest of the day off.
Brave, I know.
It is brave. Self-care is brave.
I like.
You know, I have some exciting personal news. That,
oh yeah.
That I think. I'm excited about. After like 18 months of not being able to like get into or focus on like a video game, mm-hmm. I finally got into a video game again, which is so nice because now I have something to do besides work and getting fucked
that.
Up and sitting in a chair thinking about PTSD.
What game?
Yeah. Oh, it's Age of Wonders, one of the new Age of Wonders sequels.
That's great, Robert.
Don't know anything about that, but I'm thrilled for you.
So
yeah,
happy
it's taken
for
a
you.
Long time.
All right,
yeah.
All right.
I've got a wreck. I have been struggling. I love to read. I love a series of books. I like my sci-fi and my fantasy mm-hmm. and any kind of a series of books, though, really. Mm-hmm. That you can really dive into. But a lot of them are bad. And I've
yes.
been struggling. But I've working my way through... Well, I don't know what the name of the trilogy is. The first book is called The Fifth Season, and it is extraordinary. I highly recommend it to everybody. Mm. Hugo Award winning, all three books in the series. Loving it. I can't wait to go read for an hour.
Ooh, I will check that out. Have you read The Expanse, Katie?
No, I should. I'm going to jump
Oh, fuck. Yeah, once you finish this, you've got... That is my very favorite science fiction
Ooh, I'm
series
excited.
Going on. Really, pretty much ever. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff.
I wrote it down and I underlined it three times.
Yeah.
How does the, have you watched the show? How does that hold up?
I watched like the first episode or two. I just couldn't get into it. But I think because I like the book so much. It
yeah,
was just,
that would do it.
I just
it.
Can't
it's
do
hard.
It. Right now.
It's hard for me to enjoy a show when I've read the book, yeah. usually.
Generally, like, well, honestly, the only case where I loved the books first and then liked the film or TV version is The Lord of the Rings. But yeah, I just generally can't get into the filmed version.
Speaking of which, apparently pre-production early talks for a Harry Potter TV show. Fun. Mm-hmm.
For HBO Max.
I gotta go. Gross.
Sophie's gotta go. She's taking the day off.
I think
much.
More needs to be said about how Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings are opposites. Because the entire premise of The Lord of the Rings is that no, there's no such thing as a chosen one. There's just a bunch of like flawed, imperfect people. And the only way to accomplish anything is for those flawed, imperfect people to support each other through their imperfections. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate enemy of the entire world and of all life itself is power. Mm-hmm. That's the story of The Lord of the Rings, whereas the story of Harry Potter is special boy superpowers.
Mm-hmm. We need a special boy to save
us.
He
the boy
alone
to save us.
Will
we need,
fix.
Yeah, we need exactly. a special boy with special blood.
Yeah, special boy, special blood, as yep. opposed to power is the enemy of all life.
Yeah. Also, there's a race of bankers.
Yeah, there's yeah. a race of, like, and not to say that
you
there's
can't
not,
not mention this
complicated racial stuff.
Yeah, in, Lord of the Rings.
In Lord of the Rings. But also, yeah. he wrote it in, like, 1920 as opposed to writing it in the late 90s and the 2000s. Yeah.
Can we just end on Gandalf forever? Goodbye.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.